I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hello, listeners.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for coming to Breaking Backwards, the show where Meg's never seen Breaking Bad, and I've seen it too much, and we watched it in reverse.
I think this week's episode was one where I may have found this premise a little frustrating.
Oh.
They really hinted at a lot of stuff, and I'm kind of feeling like, what is this, like our 12th episode
this
now?
This is number 13.
It's number 13. Uh-huh. So 13 episodes in, almost a whole season in, I'm a little bit like, the fuck's a crawl space? Jesse put a gun to his head? Like, oh, there's just too many things they introduced in this episode mm-hmm. that I was like, this is really frustrating out of order.
Yeah, you know? Well, yeah, no. It's, I think they got a little too up their own butt with the chronology, and so they're really setting things up to knock down later. I think it'll be satisfying when we get to it. We'll see. I get what you're saying. But just here's what you need to do with all those things. Just throw them in your noodle.
In my noodle.
And just let them rest there. And just let them sit there. So you got them if you need them. But, yeah, bring it back. Me and Meg are live recording from both of our closets again. Our separate recording closets.
Very cozy where I am. Yeah. Is it cozy where you are?
Yeah. It's a guest bedroom at my parents' house.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. To have so much bedrooms, you have an empty bedroom just for if somebody happens to stay is mm-hmm. a pretty luxurious thought.
I know. Yeah. I was reading a book the other day, and I don't know why am I whispering? I don't care. Okay. I was reading a book the other day, and a character in the book was Gore Vidal, and he's very rich, and he had a guest bedroom in the book, and he was just bragging about, Jackie Kennedy stayed here, and as did Mona Lisa, and so did LeBron James. He was just, like, bragging. I didn't get the names right, but that was the gist. And it was funny. I want to do that someday. Just be like, the Queen stayed here.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to have, like, just... I mean, I don't know. I kind of am down to have as little space as possible, or at least not that much space. But then sometimes when my kids are laying on top of me and they're like, we have nowhere else to be, then I feel like, Mom, maybe more space would be good. But to imagine, I know, like, single people with a two-bedroom apartment. Could you imagine?
That's...
It just seems so decadent.
I don't know. What did you fill the other room with? Chocolate? Like, what? What are you putting there?
Sometimes people are like, oh, this is the cat's bed. Like, what do you mean? The cat gets its own room?
Oh, my goodness. If you have a second bedroom but no second person, please tweet at us and let us know. Or better yet, tweet at Lauren Scharf. Let her know that...
LL Cool Scharf.
LL Cool Scharf, let her know that you got a second bedroom. And you just don't know what to do with it.
She probably has a lot of good ideas. She's very creative.
She's very funny. If she's hosting a podcast, I don't know if she is, but you should probably listen to that one over this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever it is, it's got Meg and I's endorsement.
We Lauren Scharf's general thing, we wholeheartedly endorse.
Big fans. It's very funny. That's the one. I have a few people who text me like about the podcast each week. There's one that texts both of us. No one's ever brought up the Lauren Scharf bit yet.
Not even Lauren Scharf to either of us directly.
Nope, she's so, not. It's really something that you and I do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep doing it.
Until she demands that we stop with a letter from a lawyer, I refuse to stop.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of lawyers, no Bob Odenkirk this week. Speaking of Bob Odenkirk, Breaking Bad. Yes. We watched it. It was good. It was very Anna Gunn. / smoking lady centric episode. My brother texted me. Oh God, I just started Netflix. I just accidentally started Money Heist. All right. It was a very Anna Gunn centric episode. Smoking lady centric episode. My brother texted me today saying, because her name is Anna Gunn, we should call her Smoking Gunn. And I don't disagree. I get it. I think Smoking Lady is just, it makes me laugh more.
What I like about Smoking Lady is it preserves Smoking Lady in the canon of Breaking Bad, and it doesn't merge real world with fantasy world.
I couldn't agree more. It does not fall into the pitfalls that Julia Roberts' appearance in Ocean 12 fell into.
Such a highly contentious appearance that causes you to lose sleep every couple months.
Like, the last, like I said, the number one thing I want under fives from Breaking Bad reaching out to me to be on this podcast. Last thing I want, I don't want people to refer to our treatment of Anna Gunn on this podcast as the Ocean's 12 of podcasts.
So I don't want that either. I would like this. I feel like this is unique enough where the only thing they could do is say it's the Memento version of Breaking Bad, but a podcast. And then that just seems like a long walk.
I'm fine with that. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. We watched episode 51. Frustratingly, the 50th episode total of Breaking Bad when you watch it chronologically. It's directed by Rian Johnson, who made The Last Jedi, which everyone universally loved.
It's a very popular movie with no opposing takes. He also directed and wrote Knives Out.
He did write a movie that Meg and I have seen in theaters.
And it was enjoyable.
I loved it. And my favorite thing about The Last Jedi is when people did, like, there were some people who didn't, like, care for it. And they were really polite about how they didn't like it. They were really cool. They go, hey, this movie's pretty good. Here's some things I would have changed. And it was wonderful to watch that discourse trickle online.
I enjoyed what, I think we saw Last Jedi together, did we not?
We saw The Rise of Skywalker together.
Oh, okay.
I saw Last Jedi by myself.
Okay, I can't keep track of all the great Star Wars hits recently.
There's so many.
But a lot of the times, just as a general Star Wars note, one of my favorite things is that when something unsuspected or something that seems intrinsically against the nature of the character, like, occurs on screen, the audience doesn't have a huge reaction and just lets it play out without going, what? Oh, my God. Or laughing in a snide and cruel way.
Wait, unpack that for me, because I need an example.
In the what was the one that we saw together?
Oh, were you doing the bit still? Sorry.
Yes, I was.
Okay. Fuck. Shit.
No, it's okay. I should have telegraphed it more.
No, that was good. That was a good escalation of the joke we were doing. Ah, shit.
I want to unpack it still because I did really enjoy. Oh wait, I probably shouldn't name any spoilers to a Star Wars movie on the podcast. So.
I don't care. Okay. It's a podcast about watching a show in reverse. Say what you want.
The part in the, is it the Rise of the Last Jedi? Was that it? Which one did we see in theaters?
We saw Rise of Skywalker.
We saw the Rise of Skywalker.
We saw Rise of Skywalker, right.
And my bit continuation of the bit that we've all put our butt cheeks on now is that, what, that time when Kylo Ren and Rey kiss in our audience, they lost their minds. They were upset that they kissed. And I just thought it was, I mean, I kind of like a raucous movie theater crowd anyways, but it was one of those things like, who cares?
It was a pretty fun movie.
You didn't like these guys anyway.
It was fun being in a theater where no one liked the movie. Yeah, Rey and him kissing, that was like the end of a bad improv scene where they just didn't know where to go.
Yeah. That whole movie was insane.
Yeah. Last Jedi, I like that one. I don't know if I brought this up about Star Wars. I'm of the opinion, and I think I'm fucking right, there are more bad Star Wars things than good Star Wars things.
I think people really like the original three.
Yeah,
the original three had like a very unique tone that
that third one, I rewatched it recently. It's shitty.
The third one is shitty.
The third of the Return of the Jedi, it's not good.
Is that right?
Yeah, they should have made it better.
Well, I think what I thought was enjoyable about the original three, and this is not my fandom at all, is that they were kind of campy and there is something kind of fun about watching a campy sci-fi film.
Yeah.
The
prequels are campy in a 2000s way, which I enjoy.
You like those?
I don't like them. They're bad. But they're, maybe because I grew up with them, they're objectively awful.
Yeah.
I think The Phantom Menace is the best one. I think Revenge of the Sith is the worst one. Don't at me.
So then what was the first one they made? What was that? What was the one where like little Anakin Skywalker's in?
That's Phantom Menace. It's not good. I think it's the best prequel.
Okay.
And everyone says The Revenge of the Sith is like the good prequel, the one good one. And I could not agree less.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I went out surfing for a long time this morning. I'm pretty pooped and I can't keep track of the different Star Wars things.
That's okay. They're all the same.
Yeah, it seems like it.
They're all not that great. Breaking Bad is
better
than Star Wars.
I'll agree with that.
You can take that to the bank.
So and they will give you a loan.
And you'll buy a mortgage.
So I don't know about you, but it's getting a little cold in here.
It is cold. And I should put on a jacket because I don't want the flu.
Oh, so, you certainly don't want the flu this year. That would be rough.
No, that'd be rough. It would really knock up my immune system, and I can't have that, so let me put on a jacket.
We got our jackets on here.
Yeah, for this cold open, which frankly gets pretty hot at the end. we open up at a mechanic who Meg pointed out has more than 5 lines, so we will not be mentioning.
Right off the bat, just can't shut the fuck up.
Talking. Sorry, bud, your career's doing too good. We're not talking about you. I didn't even look you up. I don't even think there's any under 5s in this episode. I have to look.
I don't think so. You're right.
That section's done.
Did Lydia's secretary say
we're going to find out who Lydia's secretary is, and we're going to talk about her. But that mechanic, dude, get out of here. You talk too much.
He's got to get out of our under 5s.
You're basically a movie star. You don't need us talking about you. But this very nice mechanic.
He kind of reminded me of how like my dad would try to walk me through car problems. He'd be like, "Okay, so what you had going on here?" Just very knowledgeable about it. Just gonna explain all the nuts and bolts, but put it in like simple terms. I exclaimed to you. I said, "There must have been a crash," and you just said nothing in response, which I've come to know is that you were just not going to engage in my spasms.
it seems like a good theory, Meg.
It does.
It seems like a good theory that they're at the mechanics and he's fixing crash stuff. It makes sense. But I don't know. I have seen as much as you have.
And we find out that there was also some gunky buildup in his front hood. And he's got this, like,
old... Well, they explain that.
Yeah, I was getting to that.
He hit a deer.
he hit a deer. And then they got all that deer juice out. And now everything's better.
The episode where they hit a deer, oh, boy. It's going to be great. And it's a Pontiac Aztec is the car.
Is that a Pontiac? I haven't seen a Pontiac in so long. I wonder when they went out of business.
Well, it has a link to Pontiac on the Wikipedia page for this episode, so let's find out. Are they out of business?
Oh, yeah.
Get out of town.
They're out of business. With Saturn, too.
Interesting. I didn't know that. It's well documented on this podcast by breadth of knowledge on cars. It's not great. I know. Let's see. Franchise agreements for Pontiac dealers expired on October 31st, 2010. Jesus. it's been gone for a while. Was not aware of that. Guys, your Pontiacs are like the Beanie Babies of this generation. Hold on to those. Keep the tags on. Although cars don't work like that, right?
Well, it depends on where you live. If you live in the Southwest, then those cars, they, you know, stay good for a long time, generally speaking.
Cars looked cool in the 50s. Sorry, now I'm scrolling on the Pontiac Wikipedia page. I'll get off of this. Let's talk. I'll get off of this. I'm done.
That's
sorry.
That's for another podcast.
That's for another podcast. It's for a Pontiac cast. Nope. Pontiac cast.
Okay.
Okay. I bring him in.
So Walt goes to take his car. He gets a hat out of the back seat and he goes, "I don't want this car anymore. Would you like to have it? $50. And the man goes, "I'll take some money out of the cash register and pay you for it." Mm-hmm. Which I thought, unless it's a business expense, he can't really just take money out of his business register to go buy a car for himself.
It could be like a mom pa like shop, and he could just be like, "I own the damn business, and Marsh is always telling me I gotta save receipts. Well, I don't want to save receipts." and he just did it. And then
she's gonna get audited, and they're gonna take that car.
Probably. I don't know how any of that works. I hope he doesn't.
You hope that guy has an easy rest of his life.
I hope the character does. The actor can rot in hell for having too many
he's
lines.
He's got so many lines.
He has too many lines. The character, though, seemed really nice.
Yeah.
And I hope he went and had sex in that car.
I hope he went out and just went cruising and yeah, just definitely got laid like crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then they drive home and they pull up with a PT Cruiser, which I guess must have been the car they've always had. And what's the new car that Walt has? It's some type of Chevrolet.
Was it a Chrysler? Oh, shit.
Oh, it was a Chrysler. Jesus, I don't know anything about it.
Well, no. Yeah, he leases a new Chrysler 300 for himself and later leases a Dodge Challenger for Walt Jr. Listen to me, car talking. Oh, my God. V8. Hemi. Suspension. Ooh. You better rotate those tires slick.
All-wheel drive.
Ford versus Ferrari. Christian Bale. look at, I fucking sound like a fucking gearhead. A little grease monkey up in here.
You're definitely one of those guys that has an Auto Trader magazine.
Oh, yeah. I want to get one of those little skateboards mechanics have, and where they slide under a car and they come out, just their abs are just covered in oil and grease and it's hot, and I want one of those so I can fix shit. And yeah, that's what I sound like. God, I turned myself on just mentioning these car names. Let's go on about this episode.
Well, we can't not mention when they have that Fast and the Furious moment where Junior and Walt take turns revving engines. I'm
pretty
not
sick.
Sure why.
Because they're just being boys. You know, they're just going, wow, 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 wow. That's the song. And it's cool. Haven't you ever revved your engine outside of your driveway?
I have a Subaru Crosstrek.
I don't know what that means.
I have that blue car from
before. A blue. Okay, well, that's different. Okay, well, that changes things. And
for the last 10 years, I've only had Subarus, and before that, it was only Hondas. And neither of those you should rev the engine of, because people will laugh at you.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I don't really get it. And the camera was going like back and forth, back and forth. that's some classic Ryan Johnson style that I enjoyed. But he subverts, bro.
I think I even typed in all caps, "Is this even the same show?" Because I was so confused.
Yeah, I mean, that was weird. But do you know what Ryan Johnson also did? He brought back smug Chris Evans in Knives Out, and that made me really happy. So
I'm happy that he did that. Yeah.
I'm fine that he did this car. And he also made Looper, which was really good.
Was Looper really good?
I haven't seen Looper.
I haven't seen Looper.
Yeah, Looper's dope. And go check out Looper. It's really good.
All right. Well, I'm gonna, after this podcast, I know what I'm doing tonight.
Thank you. who's the guy? Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. They make him look like young Bruce Willis.
Yeah. He's a handsome guy.
He's really handsome. I'd have sex with him.
Oh wow! Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I think we should maybe take our jackets off.
I should take our jackets off. That's right. You're right.
That was the end of the call. Right.
Okay. I'm in a weird mood today. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll cut around this. I don't know.
No, I think we both know you won't.
I cut like 15 minutes out of the last episode.
Oh, that's good, because that was a long one.
Yeah. I'm good. Okay. So then we cut to Houston, Texas. Yeehaw. At the Madrigal headquarters with Lydia.
Oh, so they were in Houston? Okay.
They're in Houston, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So they're in the Houston Madrigal office.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, when you say Houston, you have to say yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Thank you.
And Lydia's on the phone with a bunch of German people, mm-hmm. and she's not enjoying herself, and she's realizing that she's wearing two different shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she speaks German.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, good for you. Yeah. And then she gets a call from Mike on her burner cell phone, and she's like, I'm at work. And he goes, you're having visitors right now.
That's a good Mike impression.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then they show up, and they definitely had visitors. Mm-hmm. And Lydia takes them down to the warehouse and points out just a beautiful older blonde man, which mm-hmm. I guess you wouldn't trust that by virtue of the fact that he's a blonde man.
Have I talked about this on Mike?
Guess you may not have. I thought you had, but
I don't trust blonde men. I don't know why. I don't know why. I got a brother who's blonde. He's the exception because he's darker blonde, so it's fine. But like, yeah, light blonde hair. You're a man. It's not your fault, and you're probably very trustworthy. I don't trust you.
Well, at what age do you think? Because I have a little blonde son. So at what age do you start to get suspicious?
You
do have
a blonde boy. And I do...
What?
I do hide my wallet and my keys when I come over because I don't want your little blonde boy son to steal it. I think 17.
17. Okay, mm-hmm. He's got a little bit of time.
He's got a little bit of time. That hair's got to darken up if I'm going to spend
any time. He was born with a darker spot in the back of his head and the front of his head, and it stayed the same this whole time. So it's like a little bit brown up here and back here, and that's it.
My brother used to have like really, really blonde hair like Brock's, but then he got more trustworthy and it darkened up, and now you'd never know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Evan, if you're listening, I know you are. I trust you.
So then we're getting this blonde man arrested, and Lydia's like, oh, Jesus, oh, mm-hmm. boy.
Yeah, Lydia's kind of a narc.
Well, I feel like she had to.
Dude, you go down for your bud. I guess they weren't buds.
Yeah, what was the situation here that she could have possibly stopped
I think she,
this from
I think
happening?
She kind of made that guy take a fall.
Really?
Because I think, I don't know, it might be implied, I almost just used the word inferred, and I had a friend of ours, our friend Ben, texted me today privately to tell me I've been using that word wrong on the podcast, and I don't want to use it right. And so now I'm nervous to use it, and I text him back. I went, I'll take that into account and likely change nothing, except for it fucked me up just now. So thanks, Ben. Ben, you're cool. You're a cool guy. I hope you're enjoying your life.
I appreciate when Ben is like, I think you might not be using that word correctly. I think you mean to use this word, because I'm like, no, I am not saying the wrong word. That's good. I like it. But, you know,
I think I still agree with the way I was using it originally. But now I've had to retire the word.
Oh,
it's fair, just fair, it's jerseys in the rafters. We don't use it anymore. But OK.
Actually, I'm a little touched that he did that, because it means he's really been listening and like. Attentively to our podcast.
Yeah,
that's cool.
No, that's good. Ben, if you're listening right now, text both Meg and I wooga 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 wooga.
I hope he does,
and then we'll know that you were paying attention. And then send us a link to the music video for Man I Feel Like a Woman.
Ooh, I love that one. That'll really make me happy. In a couple weeks
I really am excited to hear that song. Okay. Yeah. No, I think Lydia, they said they were like looking, because they're obviously looking at the Fring operation, right? You saw that from the vision board that Mike had. And they knew they had a methylamine supply from this company, Madrigal. And I think she just like pointed him out and be like, that's the guy. And he was. But then she didn't tell Mike, like, no, I just fucking ratted this guy out. That could be me theory crafting. But basically they got that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all and we need to know.
She was like, when she came back to her office to tell Mike about it, he was very nonplussed, and he was kind of like, yeah, okay. And she's like, that's my protection. What am I going to do? He's like, oh, I'll send another guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like he wasn't too concerned about the fact that she did kind of rat someone out a little bit. Or maybe he understood that it was necessary there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that guy we later see getting stabbed a bunch in prison. So he's one of the Mike's guys.
Yeah.
Or he might not have, been the guy lit on fire. I don't remember. That seems...
No, he's definitely not the lit on fire guy, because the lit on fire guy was like a short, squirrely kind of guy.
Who
was
right.
I just remember that he... I remember the short and squirreliness of him, I guess.
Yeah, no, he's a squirrel. He's a squirrel master.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then after that, and the foreman's name was Ron, and we would shout him out, but he doesn't have any fucking lines, so nope. But I'm sure he's great. He had really big arms, so I don't want him to beat me up. then Lydia goes back in her room. She screams into a pillow.
Yes.
And then she... Mike calls her back, and he's, oh yeah, that you already brought that up. He brings up the new guy. Then Walter's brushing his teeth with his wife, who seems busy, and she's thinking about other stuff, and he's like, hey, don't worry about the cars. We leased them. Leases are great. Leases are the future. I love leases. I got a new lease on life. And then he mentions that they lost $600,000, Meg.
I don't know on what. I do also feel like they had dinner at some point, but I guess that is not super important to the plot. They were just talking about doing donuts and high-fiving and stuff about, like...
Oh, right, yeah.
Flexing on their car stuff. And then, yes, and Skylar just sat completely still the entire time. I think she's, like, kind of fucked in the head right now, man.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah, Walt's doing that thing that's shitty. Where he's being like cool dad and mom's actually doing shit that to like take care of the family, like safety wise.
Yeah.
But he's making himself seem hip and with it.
Is that a thing you've noticed in your own life? Have you ever, or is that just like a trope you see common in movies? Or is that just like a real life trope that exists?
I mean, it could have. I don't know. Like, because my parents aren't together anymore. They could have. I never noticed it. There definitely could have been times where they were like sparring with each other for my affection. I don't know. Either of you, if you're listening, I love you both. Aww. And I hope if you did spar, I hope it ended in a draw. but I don't know if they did. It was years ago. I don't think they did. Neither of them went to.
Just was wondering also on top of that, like if that was just like a trope you'd notice like in other things where it's like mom's got to keep it, tie it down, and dad's got to give raspberries.
There's a shitty version of that trope with like the nagging wife where the mom would be framed as like the actual like bad person.
Yeah.
And the dad would be cool. Like sections of Mrs. Doubtfire, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That movie is fundamentally flawed. This is a hot take because it's like,
no,
I'm pretty sure Sally Field is like, hey, please have a job and some, like, stability.
Yeah, don't trash my fucking house.
Yeah.
With your dumb kid party.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, God, Sally Field sucks, and she wants to have Pierce Brosnan. He's rich and hot. Like,
what's yeah, no, I 100% agree. And she's like, oh, she doesn't want him to be... She wants full custody because this Ted seems like he's not good at being around children.
Stable, yeah.
And he's going to dress like a woman and lie to the government. It's a good movie, guys, but yeah, it's full of holes.
Yeah.
Do you know what else is full of holes? The movie Holes.
I haven't actually, I've only seen the end of Holes, and I know there's like onions in it, and that's about it. That's all I got from Holes and Shadow the Wolf.
It's a good, yeah, it's a good soundtrack. Listen to it a lot. I bought the compact disc as a boy. And I liked it. And that's, I think it's the only movie where I can stomach Shia LaBeouf. I don't like him that much.
I feel like I certainly don't care for him, but I feel like there must be a contingency of, like, old Disney fans that still really appreciate him from that one show that he did. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't watch that show. Now he's, like, in a artsy phase.
I heard that Honey Boy was really good.
Yeah, I heard Honey Boy is really good, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, jury's out on Shia LaBeouf till me and Meg check out Honey Boy.
oh, yeah. Did I say Honey Boo?
No, you said Honey Boy.
Oh,
no. You said Honey Boo. no, it was Honey Boy. Yeah, we're going to check out Honey Boy eventually. So then they are in bed, and Walt, I think, is reading the Walt Whitman book where Skylar mentions boarding school.
Yes. She's definitely been crafting some type of plan. And you can tell she seems pretty scared out of her mind. So she tries to bring up boarding school and it does not go over great, but it doesn't like create a fight or anything. It's just like, why would we send our son to boarding school? Right. It's.
Yeah. He's just like, ugh, stupid. Doesn't make sense. Idiot. Why do we do that? And he knocks on her forehead and goes, hello, McFly. Hello. Which is really funny. When he did
I love it when husbands dunk on wives, for sure.
I don't like that, but I love when husbands quote the work of Robert Zemeckis. When they do that, yo, I'm Forrest Gump over here, when they quote Robert Zemeckis movies.
Robert Zemeckis, by the way, rest in peace. He passed away this week.
What?
Didn't he? Or was it someone else? Was it Joel Schumacher? It might have been Joel Schumacher.
Passed this week.
Oh, God. I didn't sleep good, and I surfed a lot. I'm really having a hard time.
Is that okay if I keep that in, or do you want me to cut that out?
No, you keep it in.
I'll keep that in. Okay. I will.
This will just be the episode where Meg is not paying attention
guys,
to things.
This episode's loose. It's looser than most, and we're fine with that. We have a flow now. We didn't have that. The first episode was just Meg and I in Meg's kitchen staring at a microphone going, should we have segments? Should we write down the beats of the episode beforehand? But now we just go with it.
We're just going. We're just enjoying ourselves.
And you have to be cool with it too, listener.
Because that's what we demand of you.
And then you need to tell 5 friends to listen to this podcast because we want to get those clicks.
And
we
if
want
they
that.
Tell 5 friends, and yeah. Then those 5 friends tell 5 friends.
We want to get sponsorships from Casper Mattress. We want Squarespace. We want the Cash App. All the other people
Our own
that...
Quibi? We want a Quibi?
Well, do Quibi sponsor podcasts?
No, but maybe we could just get one anyways.
Oh, yeah. We want a Quibi. Sure.
Yeah.
We want ZipRecruiter. Like, check it out. I've been working on my sponsorship. Use the promo. Fuck, I fucked it up. God, Jesus, Adam. Okay, here we go. Use the promo code BREAKBACKWARDS for 10% off. There we go. That's
that was
easy.
Good. Yeah.
So if you want that promo code to exist, you gotta tell 5 friends.
And they gotta tell 5 friends.
God, I fucked that up. I fucked that up so bad.
It's gonna be okay.
Everyone's looking at me like, you're a fucking idiot.
Nobody even knows what we look like, Adam.
They don't?
I mean, I'm sure some people do, but not everyone in the world, so most of our listeners
weird.
Probably just think we I think most of our listeners have no idea what we look like and imagine us way hotter than we
yeah
are.
I was like, I wonder if they imagine we're super hot or if we're just like dogs.
I like to imagine everybody the hottest they can be because yeah. You can do it, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I agree yeah, so yeah. I'll just tell you this, listener, what you're imagining is probably true.
We're both independently very objectively attractive.
And we're talking like coastal attractive, New York, LA attractive. I'm like an Iowa 14.
I'm on the West Coast and I am like a West Coast 10. Let's just be real.
West Coast 10. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't go past 10 on the West Coast.
Yeah. But we're also the type of attractive that we're so attractive that people are like intimidated by how attractive mm-hmm. we are, so that our love lives are kind of suffering because we're so physically mm-hmm. good looking and charming.
Mm-hmm. I can literally grate cheese on my stomach,
and not just like a mm-hmm. like a hard cheese that's easier to like flake mm-hmm. off. Like I've seen him grate soft cheddar, so
yep.
That's something.
It's, yeah, it's pretty frustrating every time I walk into a store or anything when I need help looking for something. The reaction I get is, oh, God, okay, right this way. And they just go all red. That's what we are. Don't bother looking for real. But we're
let's
a couple.
Is there any more to Skylar and talking about hotties in bed, which we were.
You got to circle it back. We can't just go cold back into the narrative. We have to.
All right, let me try again.
Yeah, try it again.
All right, one more time. Talking about hotties, let's talk about our 2 favorite hotties who are goosing each other in bed, because he does get kind of hot and bothered all up.
Oh, he gooses Skylar. Her. Yeah. He grabs her arm.
He gooses her and he's like and giving her a little rub down. And he's like, I would enjoy if you enjoyed yourself more. It's almost my birthday and I think I deserve a treat.
Yeah. And he's like, I want chocolate cake from Costco because they have really good chocolate cake at Costco. And that's true. Right, Adam? And then he looked at the camera and said, Adam, isn't the Costco chocolate cake the best? And I was like, yeah. God, Costco chocolate cake's so fucking good. Anyway.
I'm going to go after this.
No. It's so good. Never buy. If you're going, I mean, if you're like good at making cakes, make a fucking cake. But if you're buying a cake, there's no reason not to get a Costco cake. It's the best. And Costco would love to throw out a promo code right here. But I can't because you haven't given us any Costco money yet.
And we don't even need actual cash. We could just get regular, like membership cards for the year. And we
just give us Costco bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll take it. And we'll shout you out.
They'll be fine.
To our tens of listeners. Anyway, according to this Wikipedia, it cuts to Sack Rammy offers Hank the position of ASAP. Okay, so they're in Hank's vision board. Oh, there are some.
It's a little squirrely right now, Adam.
It's a little squirrely. Hold on. We're gonna wait till Meg can hear me all the way through and I'm making full sentences. How are we doing?
We're doing better, but we're not super consistent is the problem.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, let's.
Shit. Balls. You're coming in crystal clear.
I'm going to switch you to over here because.
Ooh, that'll help.
Maybe this will help, you think?
I don't know.
All right. It's a little bit better. It's a little bit better. Here we go. Right. Yes, it helped. It helped.
Pause for the edit. So they're at, and then next they go to Hank's vision board, and that's where that's the first time you saw Gus.
I did see, yes, that's, now I know Gustavo Fring, Gus Fring, I know what he looks like, but I feel like I've seen that picture before, not associated with his name. Oh, in Hank's notes. Name. Yeah.
When Hank, yeah, that's, okay, so you've seen him, yep. So that's Gus. So I don't know where he's at, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, they said he was 6 feet underground and still causing trouble, so I know he's dead. Well,
or in a bunker. We don't know. that's a good theory, though. So, yeah, they're wondering. They kind of let the audience in that those guys are getting paid, and that they think that Mike guy is the one doing it, and that kind of sets up later where we see them tailing Mike. And that's when Hank gets a new job.
Or a very salacious job offer. The way the guy, phrases it, see, it seems like he was almost trying to offer him something, to me it was, not proper how he was doing it almost. Where it's like, we could use another ASAX. I gotta go fuck off somewhere, and we need an ASAX, and I'm gonna take you off the streets, and you're gonna have to reassign this case. And do you want the job? And he was like, oh, okay, yes, I would like the job.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how culture works in the DEA. I've never been there.
That's true.
But they, yeah, it seems, I feel like there should be a more formal way to go about it.
Yeah, instead of just being like, if you apply for this job, you'll absolutely get it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I think it might cut right from there to, Hank and Marie in the car.
Yeah, well, because Walt comes home. Well, because they're finishing up a cook, and Walt's like, "It's my birthday." Because we missed the part with the eggs and bacon, where Walt Jr. is like, "You didn't make the bacon right," and he does the 50. She does the 51 with the bacon on the eggs.
Right. This Wikipedia synopsis is way worse than the other episodes, and I'm sorry, it's just all over the place.
I'm actually really pleased with myself. I usually watch these so passively, as a spectator, that not every event really sticks out chronologically to me. To the fact that I'm so tired and remembered that is making me happy. No,
you're fucking keeping this train on the track. Yeah, so she, it's a birthday tradition, apparently.
And it also ties back to what I saw on Felina, where he does the 52 with the bacon at the Denny's.
Yeah.
And goes, it's my birthday.
My birthday. I'm Batman. Yeah. So, oh God, Felina takes place a year after this. That's crazy.
He dies a year from this episode.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Dad dies on his 52nd birthday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. Wow. Guys,
that's
poetry.
That's dark, man.
That is dark. That's a dark, that's dark.
So yeah, at some point we mix that all up in there, and then he's coming home from a cook with Jesse, and he's like, it's my birthday. Ooh, 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 ooh.
And did you like normal Jesse, who's just like kind of being a dude?
I was super like confused because I've only known Jesse to be a wildly mentally unbalanced and on drugs. And in this case, he seemed like a really pleasant guy to hang out with. I don't know. He seemed really nice and amicable, and I guess maybe amiable is the right word, but seemed like a cool dude. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to, yeah, I want to play Xbox with him or something. He seemed fun.
Yeah.
I don't even care what game. So that's sick. Okay. That's okay. When we cut to the car. Or no, while coming home and shimmy and shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
Wait, hold on. Let's catch up again. Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. He's excited to be in the house. Is that what you said?
I want to keep all these connectivity issues we're having in. Because here's the deal. All right. Our internet provider is a company called Mediacom. Hey, if Mediacom, if you're listening, fuck you. We don't want your sponsorship. You're shitty at internet. And I want the world to know that the world's worst internet provider is making your podcast a little shittier. I'm going to cut all that out. Anyway, can you hear me now?
I can. It's jumping again. Hold on.
Fuck.
All right, pause. We'll get there. I think it's better now. Go ahead.
Okay. So after that, cuts to Walt just like you were saying, it's my birthday, excited to be home and to have all of the love and affection of a lovely nuclear family. And but no one really gives a shit. His son's watching Becker and just going like, Becker rules. And then Skylar's just kind of like, yeah, Marie's coming over. And Hank,
she's got a like an Albertsons rotisserie chicken.
Oh, I love that. Big fan of, because also it's good.
Is love it? I've never been the type of person who's like, I'm going to get this already cooked chicken. Like, I just can't imagine what to do with it. I don't know.
You cut it up and you can Tupperware it and have chicken for the week.
That sounds awful. I don't know.
I mean, you put it on stuff. I don't know. It's good. And then we cut. I can't believe I skipped all of that. Then we cut to the car.
Oh, yes. Then they are in the car. And Marie just out of nowhere, it feels like literally out of nowhere, just goes like, there's been some infidelity in their marriage. And Hank's like, I fucking knew it. And then Marie goes, it was Skylar. And Hank's like, so what? And I really got frustrated that she did that. I was really mad. Like, hey, somebody told you that as a secret. But to be fair, it was Hank who told, or I'm sorry, it was Walt who told her that.
And then later we find out, we see when Skylar hears that Marie knows.
Yeah.
Because and then later at dinner with Jesse, she's like, did Walter tell you about my affair? And then saunters off.
With the whole 2.5 bottles of wine.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And then they have just a bitchin' birthday party.
I wasn't happy with how unhappy Walt was with his birthday. As you were pointing out, 51 isn't exactly like a showstopper year for a birthday.
No one gives a shit when you're 31. It's not, 21's the last birthday ended in a one that anyone gives a fuck about.
So true.
So get off your sad horse, Heisenberg, and stop being a sad ass. No one likes angry boys who are sad asses.
So true. Very true.
I know we don't. We hate that. Then they have just that dope ass rotisserie chicken, which is fucking delicious. The skin is so crunchy. And
I've heard something about some whipped potatoes that sounded good too.
Ooh, yeah. Yep. It's a good source of carbs. Good source of starchy carbs. You need those. And Walt mentions that his a year ago was when his cancer was diagnosed.
Man, it's been a bit, it was a busy couple of years for this whole family.
Yeah, yeah. But they're doing good. They're holding up.
Yeah.
They're making it work. And then he just gives a whole monologue about just what they've gone through, and Skylar decides to take a swim in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, and that's pretty much all you need to know about this scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's prettily shot. Ryan did a good job.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, during this whole scene, Skylar's being very aloof, and it's not clear in the following scene after Walt talks to Marie and Hank about what Skylar's been feeling and what she just did. It's not immediately clear to me that Skylar hadn't... They frame it like Skylar was trying to be manipulative, but also earlier in the episode, you see her doing like some self-mutilation things on a really small scale. Like when she goes to floss, she like wraps a thing around her.
I didn't even take that as that, but that makes sense.
Because like that's a thing that they say people do where they like to hurt themselves because they're feeling bad. Or I don't know why.
I didn't know that.
But like to cut off the blood from their like fingers and stuff. So that's why I was like, maybe this wasn't all like a manipulation attempt on her part to stage like a suicide attempt. Maybe she actually is feeling pretty fucking helpless, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see it as a manipulation attempt. She kind of framed it that way in the bedroom later, but I don't think it was intended to be that in the moment.
Okay.
I definitely think the writers are on her side.
Yeah.
With things. But yeah, well, real quick, because they cut to commercial when Walt jumps in the pool, and then we go back up actually with Jesse in Houston.
Oh, yes, we do.
Jesse in Houston, and this is where we get all the setup for the next episode that we had just the train episode.
Yeah,
because he sees the bugged methylamine, and it was pretty fun watching Jesse just do a chore.
Yeah, that was cute. So it's like, that was the thing where he just shows up, and that's an interesting dichotomy between Jesse and Lydia, where Jesse's like, I'm here. And Lydia's like, who the fuck are you? Like, give me your credentials. I need to know that you're legit. So was Jesse the other guy that,
Jesse was the other guy.
Or Mike was talking about. Okay. That's funny that Jesse's ever anybody's other guy for something, for some reason.
He even said, he went, I'm the guy. Oh no. He went, I'm the guy. Oh boy, I'm the guy. Yeah, and then they find the thing. It's pretty hot watching Jesse use a forklift. So I like that.
That was pretty sexy, yeah. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, that made me hot as hell. And then we... Oh, then it cuts back to Walt and Hank talking.
So that's where Hank is like, hey, how long has she been feeling this way? Has she done this before? And then and then Marie is like, hey, on the phone lady is like, hey, maybe we take the kids for a while. And Hank's, well, wow, I can't keep any adult's names.
Well, also Hank mentions to Walt that he knows about the affair.
But it seems like that's information. He acts all pissed off that Hank knows, but I feel like if he told Marie, then he knew that Marie was going to tell Hank. It seems
probably,
like, yeah.
But yeah, Hank was all like, dude, you got to keep that girl on a leash, bro. Which is out of character. And then he backslapped him. Which was in character.
Yes.
Are we a couple of sleepy bears today?
I think we're dragging a little booty. We're not on top of our game the same way we usually are.
I feel like... I've walked out of my bedroom, I got my blanket and my baba, and the lights are on. I'm just like, I want to go back to bed. And that's us right now. And our parents are like, you got to record a podcast or else you can't go to bed. And so that's what's going on right now. And you, God damn it, listener, deal with it.
When Marie comes out, she comes out and she's like, she's going to just lie down for a while. And immediately Hank is like, she tries to like preposition sharing information through, like to stage it. So then like Walt tells Hank without having to confess she told anybody anything. And Hank's like, he knows, Marie, he knows. And I don't know. I just thought that was also like a very tropey, maybe not tropey thing, but a very manipulative thing on Marie's part to try to get Hank, or to try to get Walt to offer up that information to Hank.
Yeah.
Anyways. And then
Marie,
once...
I don't know who Marie is, but no, I think...
Oh, on the phone lady.
On the phone lady makes more sense. Oh, her. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene that I don't really want to talk about, the bedroom scene.
Can we do like a truncated version?
Yeah, because this scene's upsetting.
I never...
There's some emotional abuse in this scene that's hard to watch.
It made me so mad. Like, yeah. I just texted you the whole time, like, fuck him. Girl, stand your ground. Because seeing her have to be so scared by her husband was really hard. And seeing him kind of peacock around like he knew fucking everything, that was really hard to see. Yeah.
Well acted?
Absolutely.
Anna Gunn won a... Smoking Lady won a Emmy for this episode. I think I brought that up last week.
Okay.
Well-deserved.
This was the season that was like two separate seasons kind of in one season. Yeah. Was that it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. She won one for this one, and then she won for the other Rian Johnson episode directed next season, where she went at him with a knife.
I guess Rian Johnson just does a really good job with Anna Gunn, and they work well together, and he got one hell of a performance out of her, and she did a really fantastic job. But
did you know that Rian Johnson is actually a member of the NRA?
I didn't know that.
Well, like, he's really good with guns.
Barata.
Barata-da-da-da. Her name's Anna Gunn, you fucking idiots. Okay.
I will say that the last thing that Smoking Lady says to Walt about how, like, I'm a coward, and I don't know what I'm going to do at any moment, and this was as far as I got, and it's not as good as your plan. Like, that scene, it was like, whoa, that delivery was really spectacular.
She's awesome. And then I think she kind of won the argument with the mic drop of waiting for what? Till your cancer comes back. Like, duh, idiot. which is cool. It's just kind of Walt following, like, invading her space around the room and shitting on all her plans to have a safe life.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It was icky. Well done. Good scene. After that, we cut to the office.
Oh, we're back with Mike and Jesse and Walt in the office where Jesse tells...
Jesse has a camera phone, which is cool back then. Dude, he can take pictures and talk? What?
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. And that picture looked like I was watching a theatrical movie, that photograph of a bug.
It was kind of funny how Mike was like, all right, that's it. I'm going to kill her. It just kind of like slams his hand down and just kind of half-heartedly like, it's time to kill her.
Time to kill the lady now.
He asks a line of probing questions about whether or not Lydia found the GPS device, and, you know, questions why it was on the outside, not the inside, and all of these things.
All things we see the fruits of in the next episode. Turns out it really was bugged by the DEA.
So Mike doesn't know everything, and he's...
Mike was wrong.
Just this one time. I imagine it's the first time it's ever happened, and it was very...
Yeah, he's right often.
Yeah.
He's often right. He loves grandchildren.
Just the concept. I mean, he loves his own grandchild, but he just likes the idea of seeing the species continue, I think.
Yep. He loves spreading seed. Okay. and then Walt isn't really helpful. He just says, the methylamine flows.
Yeah, so flows the methylamine, so flows my empire. He sounded like a old king or something like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Good job, Walt. I'm almost done with this. Then Jesse gives him a birthday present, a watch, and I know watches. That's an expensive fucking watch.
Now, last week you said it was a tag, but I thought that this week it said Rolex on the box.
I'm pretty sure it's a tag.
Okay.
I bet it says, if it's, if they pointed out all those fucking cars, I bet it says so on the Wikipedia page, if you bear with me. Yeah, it's a Tag Heuer Monaco.
My bad. I thought I saw Rolex for some reason.
It's an automatic chronograph, which are hard to make with a constantly moving second hand on one of the sub dials. Good job, Jesse. That's a baller watch. I think watches are fucking dumb. I wouldn't wear one. Anyway, they're stupid. There's better wrist accoutrement.
I wore a watch today in the ocean, but it cost $5. So
the watch did?
Yeah, it's one of those waterproof watches.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
I watched it. Am I dumb? No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck. shit. I work so hard on the optics of this. I never want to mansplain or talk down.
I'm just kidding.
Just called my co-host dumb. I'm an
asshole.
Why
don't you like watches? Maybe you could just explain why you don't like watches.
I have previously worked at a company that traffics watches, and the watch people, the people who like watches, I think are annoying.
Okay, that's a different thing.
Have you ever been on watch YouTube with watch collectors?
I have not. That sounds
they're
boring.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awful. They just bitch about moving parts in their watches. And they all talk like this.
I don't understand why anybody would think about a watch that much. I don't know.
Yeah, you think of a watch, and you're like, ah, fuck, it's four.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a good job, but the job was good. It's just, those people. Watch people. Anyway, so then last scene, Walt goes home, and smoking lady is a smoke-in.
Oh, she's smoking on the couch and she's ashing into a coffee cup. Not sure if there's coffee in it. And she's like, the kids are at the house. They're at their aunt and uncle's house. Everything's gravy with me, right? Isn't that this resolution of that scene?
He's like, the kids are out of the house, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, I have some more money coming in. Is that okay? And she's like, that's okay. And then he walks away and comes back. And he's like, this watch was given to someone who wanted to kill me once. Put a gun right between my eyes. And now he thinks I'm the tits. And you're going to think of the tits later.
Your opinion's going to change pretty much.
Yeah. And then he goes to bed. And we get a close-up on the ticking second hand on the subdial of the watch. And I think that was a visual metaphor.
Like that his time is running out?
Yeah. Mm. Like that, because he literally lives a year after this day.
Oh, that's very true.
Mm-hmm. And we know that with the value of foresight. I mean, with the knowledge of foresight. Oh, fuck. God, Ben's gonna rip my ass apart.
Light up your phone, man.
For fucking using words wrong. Fuck off, Ben. God, you're great. I hope you're doing great, Ben. Anyway, what's the episode? What grade do you give it?
This one, I think this one, it legitimately was a B+ for me. There wasn't a whole lot of action. There was a lot of talking. It was hard to watch in moments, not because of it being poorly done, but sometimes I, just as a person naturally inclined to like comedic things, I was like, this isn't funny. I don't like to watch, you know?
Felt like a one-act play in parts.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Well, let's crank through these under five, the one that we have. And because we're not talking about the mechanic.
We never.
But the secretary has a name, and her name is Melissa McCurley.
Melissa.
Melissa, you are awesome. We love you. We're gonna shout out some of your credits. You were in The Fantastic Four in 2015, the remake that no one liked, as Sue's doctor. Good for you.
Melissa.
You were, and the last thing you were in was in a show called Deputy as Nurse Number One. Mm. She's been in a bunch of TV stuff. Mostly under five roles, but that's cool. She's getting work. It looks like she took a break between 2015 and 2019, but then 2019, she just kickstarted her career again. So good job. And Melissa, you're obviously just more than welcome to be on this podcast. We'll pay you. We will pay you to be on this podcast.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
No, we'll pay. Don't listen to Meg. I'll take it out of my pocket. I don't care.
Okay, that's your choice.
We'll pay you 4,000 Costco dollars.
We still don't have that sponsorship yet.
Well, we're going to fucking get it. Costco's going to hear this episode. We're going to get 4,000 Costco dollars. We pay it to Melissa. We get Melissa on the pod, Meg.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm on board. I don't.
The optics of me yelling at you, especially in this episode, are really bad.
Okay, no, I get it. I'm on board now. That's a good plan.
God.
Oh, no.
She was also in Daybreak, which is a show that has a cool poster. You should check it out. It's on Netflix.
Okay. It sounds like it has something to do with vampires.
Yeah, it has something to do with vampires. She plays a ghoulie gal. That's cool. she's the best, and we wish her well. And she can get 4,000 Costco dollars.
If she comes on this podcast.
She comes on our podcast, and we'll have it. We'll have it by then.
Okay. Yeah, dude, we're just a couple weeks away from, yeah.
I bet we'll have 20,000 Costco dollars at that point. How much business we get Costco from this podcast with our tens of listeners?
That's so true.
Yeah, we're fucking, people are going to be buying so much eggs and peanut butter and shit.
Oh, I hope they buy vitamins. You need vitamins.
Yeah, you'll get so many at Costco for such a good deal. Use our promo code at Breaking Bad.
Words?
Yeah, at Breaking Backwards is our promo code. Or no, you don't have an at in a promo code. Fuck! Shit! Fuck! All right. Deals off, Melissa. We can't do it. We can't afford it. No way Costco's going to take this shoddy operation.
Melissa, I'm sorry. I know we probably got your hopes up there for a second. We'll make this sometime. Somehow.
What a roller coaster for Melissa. We got to drive this train into the station. So,
what were you going to say?
Like and subscribe.
Tell your fucking friends. Lauren Scharf, too.
Lauren Scharf, follow her. What are our social media accounts? You want to throw those out just so they can follow us?
We're Breaking Backwards on Instagram and Facebook, and Breaking Bad Pod 1 on Twitter.
Nice. Okay. Well, until next time.
A
mighty good Heisenberg to you.
Fair listener.
Goodbye forever. Bye. Just kidding. Till next episode.